think we're ready now.
So to speak.
Good morning. It is June the 27th. The commission is meeting for its regularly scheduled meeting on today in the commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol. I'm Commissioner Susan Wiefald, and with me today are Commissioners Clark and Kramer. It's a busy day for us today because we're also in the middle of a prudence hearing regarding the Big Stone plant that's being proposed by MDU and Otter Tail. So we broke from that hearing 15 minutes ago, and we'll go into that meeting again when we finish today our regular meeting. I'll call first on my fellow commissioners to see if they have any opening comments.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. I might just note that I have a couple of items that were added to the regular agenda very late. They're KC6 and KC7. They relate to the Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline Project. And my intention is to hold over KC6 to the admin agenda for discussion because it is in response to the motion is an order denying a request to postpone those hearings that was requested by DRC, and we, as a commission, have had no time to discuss it among ourselves or with staff. So I'm going to hold it over till admin. KC7, though, is my hope to be able to vote on. That is the notice of the hearing for the PCNN. So just so we're prepared for that. And if we and I think we'll have adequate time to discuss KC7 as a group. Okay.
I do too. All right, and so what we will do is now I'll take a motion for the consent agenda.
I move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, and I have no items in my portfolio. The one that was in my portfolio has been withdrawn, and that will also be discussed on the admin today. And so we will go to KC1.
All right, KC1.
And basically, I just want to mention that on SW1, the reason it was withdrawn is so that we can talk about the process that we want to use for handling this. Thank you.
All right. KC1. I move the commission adopt the findings of facts, conclusions of law, and order in Dakota Gasification Company's CO2 pipeline siting application, case number PU07184.
Second.
This, of course, is the application by Basin Electric and Dakota Gas to move the CO2 pipeline as it crosses Lake Sakakawea. That's some 1,400 feet, or 11,400 feet, I'm sorry.
About 2 miles
across Lake Sakakawea. Currently sits on top of the floor of Lake Sakakawea. They're proposing to move it over and bury it under the floor of Lake Sakakawea during this low water time, or at least it used to be a low water time. At any rate, we had a good and thorough hearing on the topic up in Watford City with the company. Everything seems to be in order and seems appropriate. It is interesting that although we all went to Watford City to fulfill the requirements of the Century Code, there was no local interest. At least nobody showed up. I shouldn't say there's no local interest, but the topic of CO2 capture, sequestration, and use to recover oil has gained lots of attention, not only around the country but around the world. And so it's kind of interesting timing, but as interesting, I think, is the fact that there are lots of people around the world talking about CO2 capture and sequestration at a time when we're doing it in North Dakota, and this was just one more small piece demonstrating that.
It is interesting to me that on that very point that there may be more interest in this case outside of North Dakota than there is inside of North Dakota. As Commissioner Kramer said, no one showed up at the hearing, and yet this is the world's largest commercial carbon sequestration project currently in service, and it does have an impact on what other people are thinking about you might be able to use this carbon dioxide for. So for us, it's a pipe that's moving 100 feet and clears all the regulatory hurdles, but for the world at large, it probably takes on greater significance that it will still be operational.
The commission took a very close look at this, as Commissioner Kramer said, in Watford City at the hearing. This is a hazardous pipeline, and so for us to move it even 100 feet does make a substantial filing before us. We also took a very close look and listened carefully as they told us how they were going to be burying this pipe. under Lake Sakakawea. Since they're not going to be, there's no way that it's financially feasible for them to drill and place this under the lake. They actually need to do this while there's water in the lake bed. And so we were very interested in the sedimentation controls and the temporary erosion controls that they would be putting in place while they do the excavation to bury the pipe in the bottom of the lake bed, and then to ensure that everything is reclaimed appropriately on both the lake shores after this process is done. Everything does seem to be in order. Good assurances by the company and meeting the standards that state agencies have required and told us to put in place.
It is, I think, also interesting to note that the hearing was in Watford City, really in the heart of the oil activity these days. And when you think about the potential, frankly, I find it encouraging to think about the potential opportunities for sequestration of carbon dioxide in the oil fields of western North Dakota, providing tertiary recovery of oil. And given today's prices and given today's economy, there's lots of opportunity that I think is illustrated in this.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Casey, two. I move the commission approve Montana Dakota Utilities Company's natural gas cost of gas adjustment for July 2007, case number PU07268.
Second.
MDU's decreasing its cost of gas charge by $1.93 per decatherm. It'll be applied to gas bills during July, and it will change the cost of gas charge from $6.30 per decatherm to $5.20 per decatherm, and will affect a typical resident representative of July by lowering the cost in the bill by $2.18 compared to last month, and $2.40 lower, of course, than last year. And this is due to, of course, a decrease in the commodity cost of gas.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC3. KC3 and 4 are related to a renewal and the revision of a coal mining permit. KC3, I move the commission approve revision number 26 to surface coal mining permit number NACT9101 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to add 159.5725 acres to the permit and update legal and pre-mine resource information and mining and reclamation plans for the next five-year permit term.
Second.
This is just a pretty typical, although they are adding nearly 160 acres to the permit on the north side, and this is typical every 5 years, as the next motion will also demonstrate, to do these revisions and updates.
It's my understanding that this is south central in the mine.
Yeah, I guess it's the north mine that I was thinking of, but is in the south central part of that, mm-hmm. that mine.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 In fact, I was over it about a week ago. I move the commission approve renewal number 3 to surface coal mining permit number NACT9101 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years until June 30th, 2012.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, this was a new one that was recently added, KC5. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in the application of Montana Dakota Utilities Company for a certificate of public convenience and of necessity and for approval of a natural gas transportation service agreement to extend at natural gas service to U.S. Bioenergy for an ethanol production facility under construction near Hankinson, North Dakota, case number PU07270.
Second.
This is a distribution line that would be a tap off of the, why am I not thinking of it right now?
Alliance.
The Alliance pipeline into Hankinson for the bioenergy ethanol plant. So it's energy for energy.
When I looked at this, I thought, oh, a PCNN, this must be electricity.
One of those typical
because one of those that we generally deal with on a very routine basis. And then I saw that, no, that this one is to construct and operate a natural gas distribution line in this area. We don't see these as often as we do the ones for the PCNNs for the electric industry, and so it'll be interesting to work through this case.
Well, it's especially noteworthy it's coming off the Alliance pipeline because we have had another context discussion about taps into that particular pipeline that have not generally panned out. It's an impressive resource running through the state, but made more impressive if you can actually utilize it. And this would appear to be perhaps the first time that a TAP's been approved in North Dakota. I think it is.
I think that's
right. Is there another, Jerry? Is that?
You know, I believe there was a TAP down there.
Well, Ross Holt, I think, had one. But
a couple years ago.
In North Dakota?
South Central. And it was
okay.
Along the border there with South Dakota. I'm trying to remember the details of it. But, Bill might remember some of it, too.
I remember, but I don't know if it got built.
I do remember that for years after Alliance was put in the ground, there was a lot of disgruntlement over that topic. But, of course, the fact of the matter is this might also illustrate some of the flattening out of price region by region, because one of the issues that a company like Alliance has to deal with, of course, is that if you're going to take a tap, some of its gas off of its pipeline, off of its transmission line, you'll pay the price that they're paying at the further down the pipeline. So I suspect that there's been a little bit of flattening out economically that makes this more feasible.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, KC6, as I said, I'm going to hold over until admin so we can discuss it. KC7, however, is related. KC7. I move the Commission issue a notice of hearing in the application of TransCanada Keystone Pipeline Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU07152.
Second.
This is in response to a response to our notice of opportunity for hearing that we ordered or issued on May 2nd of this year, inviting the public to consider comment or a request for a hearing on the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity for the Keystone Pipeline Project. We did receive such a request recently from the Dakota Resource Council, so we are going to issue this notice of a public hearing. The hearing on the matter will be held July 23rd, beginning at 9 o'clock at the Barnes County Courthouse in Valley City, and that date, of course, corresponds with the siting hearing that will be held beginning at 1 o'clock that afternoon. And it seems appropriate to do that. We considered delaying this till a later date so that there could be more notice to the public. However, the public has had the original notice of opportunity. This is in response to one particular party's request, as well as a couple of landowners, I should say. And so we think this is more than adequate. It certainly meets the legal requirements for notification. And if everyone agrees, we can hold the hearing in Valley City on the 23rd.
I was reading the newspaper this week and noticed an article about the South Dakota citing hearings for the Trans-Canada Keystone Pipeline, and noticed that there were 200 people at one of the hearings that they held on the siting. So I don't know whether we will get that same type of attendance in North Dakota, but I think we should anticipate it and
I do.
Perhaps make sure that our hearing rooms are of an adequate size. So I just want to mention that now while I'm thinking about it, so that we can check that out. I'm not sure which hearing will attract the most people, whether it would be the PCNN or whether the siting. I have a feeling the siting, but you don't know on either one.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And it's items from my portfolio.
All right, and then we'll go to Commissioner Clark.
Thank you. Item TC1, I move the Commission recommend to the court that the bond proceeds available in this case be distributed amongst five claimants based on their valid cash sale balance claims without interest, and that proceeds from the credit sale contract indemnity fund be distributed among four claimants based on their valid credit sale contract claims with interest, and that payments be forwarded to those claimants as soon as possible. I further move that the Commission request that the court require the surety Hartford Fire Insurance Company, Hartford Plaza 690, Asylum Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut 06115, to deposit the total bond proceeds in the amount of $100,000 in this proceeding.
Second.
I had to pause a second when I saw Asylum Avenue. I don't know what that would be.
Bill? I just wanted to comment that I think the...
Should that be that without interest?
It's without interest.
Okay.
There's an error in the motion.
Both credit sale and cash sale claims should be without interest. Okay. So just make that.
And then that'll be corrected. There's a typo.
And I'll explain the rationale for that. This is the Minnesota Grain Insolvency for the Elevator and Rame North Dakota. You will recall that the bankruptcy, or no, this wasn't subject to bankruptcy, I'm sorry. I was thinking Heartland for a second. We had applied to district court for trusteeship of the facility and were granted that some time ago. The last we posted notices for claimants to step forward. The last day for filing the claims was Monday, June 11th. And as of that date, we had received 14 claims. Five of them were cash claims, four credit sale claims, and five were denied claims, which were for grain delivered to the East Grand Forks, Minnesota facility. It's important to recall with this that Minnesota Grain has had both a RAIM facility and an East Grand Forks facility. There were some producers who we are recommending and believe made delivery to the East Grand Forks Minnesota facility and didn't contract at all through the RAIM facility, and therefore are not covered by North Dakota law, potentially covered by Minnesota law. The cash claims are for Plasma Cody Equity Elevator, Ray Farmers Elevator, three producers that had entered into production contracts with Minnesota Grain, in which they agreed to grow and deliver white winter wheat to RAIM, North Dakota. We have an appendix to the report and recommendation, which details all of these. The total claims that the commission received were for $930,365.67. The commission is recommending denying claims for $467,920.69. Those denied claims are the claims of for farmers who delivered to the Minnesota facility. Of the valid claims, cash claims, in other words, those farmers who should have been paid within 30 days, $323,117.58. There is a bond on file with the commission of $100,000. There were no grain assets available, so if approved by the court, the payout will be something like 30 cents on the dollar, a little less. The credit sale claims, which come out of the credit sale contract indemnity fund, we are recommending $137,893.69. The payment that will be made out of that will be $110,314.95. The rationale for that is state law requires no more than 80% claim out of the fund. That farmers are not entitled to 100% out of the indemnity fund. And this paperwork will be filed with the district court as soon as this meeting is done. And the court has set a hearing date for August 20th for interested persons that may object to the commission's report. And parties can, if they disagree with us, go to the court, and the court can decide from there what to do with our recommendation.
It's my understanding that this is the first time that the credit, what do we call that?
Credit sale contract.
Credit sale contract fund has been tapped into since it was set up by the legislature. And so it's been very interesting for us to work through the process to see about how that process works and to watch the amount of money that's in the fund and the amount that's been needed, is being needed for this particular case. This was before the commission to some extent while the legislature was in session. And so legislators were also interested in what was happening in this case as they made their determination of what level the credit sale contract fund should be at, and they did make a change to that this year, and that will go into place effective
August 1
of this year.
One other change which we will likely be recommending to the legislature, we'll talk about it in probably a year and a half, but something that we have to consider, which we no one had thought about before, which is the issue of interest. Bill had made note of the fact that the report that we're recommending is to be paid without interest. The reason for that is there's a conflict in law, and it's a pretty clear conflict that I don't know that we'd have any way around it. In one section of law, it talks about interest being paid to producers. In the section of law specific to the indemnity fund, it says the commission can recommend no more than 80% payment of the total claim. And that's a very bright line. And so I think it would make sense to perhaps recommend to the legislature, at least bring it to their attention that there's this conflict, and perhaps allow interest above the 80% payment. But that would be a statutory change that we believe would have to be made. Commissioner Weefald's right. This is the first claim out of the Agricultural Indemnity Fund, the Credit Sale Contract Fund. And I'm sure that for those producers who will be getting paid out of it, they're quite pleased that the legislature took this step in creating the indemnity fund. It creates a level of security that 2.5 years ago they wouldn't have had.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that concludes the items on our formal agenda today. I do just want to tell you, in case you're not able to stay for the administrative portion of the meeting, what is the item that's being held over. There was a request by Dakota Resource Council that the commission not proceed until an environmental impact statement that's required by the United States government on the Keystone Pipeline, until that would be done. The commission is going to discuss whether or not to grant that, their wishes on that matter. Are there any questions?
So basically, for those who had credit sale contracts with the Rame elevator, they'll be paid about 80 cents on the dollar. And for those who just had cash contracts, it's 30 cents on the dollar, roughly.
Roughly, it's a little under that. The total valid claims were about $320,000. Bond available with no grain assets is $100,000, so I haven't done the math exactly. But and that's also why we're not recommending interest. There just aren't funds available to pay the entire amount.
Okay. Now, I'm a little confused about the pipeline situation and mm-hmm. the request for a delay. You have set a hearing for the 23rd?
That's correct.
So, in administrative hearing, or in administrative session, what are you going to do?
Well,
delay that hearing? Is that
There really are two things at play, and probably should straighten that out. The first thing is, in May, of course, we issued a notice of opportunity for a hearing on the issuance of a certificate of public convenience and necessity, a PCNN. And that notice of opportunity had until June 22nd. That opportunity is open until June 22nd for someone to comment or request a hearing. June 21st, the Dakota Resource Council, on behalf of a couple of landowners, requested the hearing. So that hearing is specifically to determine whether it's necessary, whether there's a public interest involved. And let me say this. There are two basic standards that have to be met in a PCNN case. One is the company up to the task? Do they have the financial resources and can they do it? The second is there a public interest in this? And so it's my understanding, based on the request by the DRC, that the challenge will be the public convenience and necessity, although or the public interest piece of it. Is it beneficial to North Dakota to have a pipeline, an interstate international pipeline that runs underneath our surface? So that's the first item. The item that we're going to discuss here in a little bit relates specifically to delaying the siting hearing in lieu of the fact that there's not an EIS done yet, an environmental impact study. And so my motion will be to deny that request to delay that hearing.
And the reason you're making that motion is?
Well, that's what we're going to discuss here in a little bit.
Okay, you're welcome to stay.
What was I? The only thing, other thing I was going to mention, Dave, on that, the insolvency, is that, as I said, there's a potential that claimants could come forward at the district court level and object to how we're recommending that the funds be distributed. But the dollar value that's available is going to remain the same. It's a $100,000 bond that's available. So to the extent that others attempt to, make a case for a valid claim above and beyond what we've already established, it would only decrease the amount that are available to the already certified producers.
Are there any further questions? Otherwise, I'm going to make ask my fellow commissioners if, rather than taking a 10-minute break here for signing and such, if we want to go directly into the admin meeting, and then we'll do the signing when we're done with that.
I agree.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. All right, stop, and then.